Welcome to Practice Care with Carl White, the podcast where we help practice owners in healthcare know just enough about the business side to make good business decisions and keep their practices independent. Now our host, Carl.
Most people who burn out on the job stay, but they try to make it better in one way or another, but not my guest today. He went from orthopedic surgeon to private practice owner in a completely different field. The moment I heard about this, I was hugely interested in his story, and I hope that you will be too. And he is our guest today on Practice Care. My name's Carl White. I'm principal at Mark Advisory Group, which is a healthcare marketing agency, and I'm also the host of Practice Care. And the mission for both Mark Advisory Group and Practice Care is very simple. It's to help private practice owners stay private. Not only is that what they want to do, but I firmly believe that healthcare is better when it's just you and your provider sitting at the table figuring out what's best for you, and there's nobody else secretly in the background, like a hospital or a health system or other owners secretly whispering in the provider's ear, hey, we matter, our agenda matters, anything that could compromise the patient's care. It's just better when it's private practice owners. And today, my guest is Dr. Doug Lucas. Dr. Doug is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, as I said, who left the traditional healthcare model to pursue an integrative health optimization practice called Optimal Human Health. Today, he uses lifestyle, genetics, blood, and functional testing to create custom plans for all of his patients. And Dr. Doug, thank you for coming on Practice Care.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carl, for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and you made one heck of a change, didn't you? And like I said in the opening, I'm really interested to hear more. So let's just start in it. If you could kind of give us a bit of your background and go up to the point of where you said to yourself, this has got to change, like real change, not just nibbling around the edges change.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, well, let me just give you the backstory. Yeah. So I started, actually, we'll go back all the way to medical school.
Yeah.
I chose orthopedics because as I entered into medical school with a background really in actually fine arts, I was a ballet major in undergrad. And I spun into healthcare because my family has a background in it. My father's a surgeon. My mom's a nurse. It's kind of like all I knew. When I realized fine arts wasn't really the best way to make a living and support a family, I chose to pursue what I knew, which was healthcare. So when I went into medical school, that was not my initial interest of orthopedics. But what I loved about the field is that it's a pretty black and white field. As far as medicine goes, you know, if you have a problem and I have a solution, it can be very fulfilling. So orthopedics became the goal and the passion. When I got there and I was going through residency training, I really enjoyed the private practice side of it. So I really enjoyed the entrepreneurial side. I enjoyed the, you know, you are in control of your own destiny. And it sounds like we're very aligned there. Ironically, I chose my first practice based on that model in this group that had, I thought, a lot of potential. 2 weeks before I joined that group, they got bought out by the hospital. So my initial practice was supposed to be a private practice. And right out of the gate, I became a hospital employee. So I had this sort of, it was a challenge and a struggle right out of the gate and became very familiar with hospital politics and big hospital systems and felt like I didn't have the capacity to grow in the way that I wanted to grow. So that was a very early struggle for me. My first 3 years of practice were spent essentially trying to wrangle my way out of that situation and ultimately decided to leave the area, not because I wasn't making headway, because I was, but actually my wife had started a business and needed to grow. And so we needed a new environment. We were in Durango, Colorado, which is a very small town, very isolated, wasn't a good place to grow from. So we moved to Asheville, North Carolina, where I am now. And I did actually join the private practice of which I thought would be the private practice of my dreams. And again, kind of quickly realized that a big private practice model is not that different from a hospital system. In the practice here, it was a smaller group. I mean, still big, you know, 25 surgeons, but a group that had joined a bunch of other groups to have leverage and, you know, against insurance companies and hospital systems. In that environment, though, it becomes very similar feeling where you are so far from the decision making at the top that you really, again, don't have a lot of control.
I like the partners, owners, and then everybody else. Is that
okay? Exactly. But there was even then a layer above that because it was, you know, the people at the top level who were not even in the same boardroom or not even in the same practice. And so there were some challenges there, but it felt better, but I still got ground down by the inability for me to actually control the way I wanted to practice, you know, take call where I thought I needed to take call and do the things that I needed to do. Felt very limited. And that's really where it started to switch for me. It's when I started to look at, okay, what am I really passionate about? You know, I like certain aspects of orthopedics. I love operating. I still love that, you know, you have a clear physical problem that I have an answer to usually. Right. But I started finding that my passion was really more in helping people to optimize their health. I had a strong interest in nutrition. My wife's business was in nutrition. She was starting to see a lot of people. And what I was realizing is that there was this space, which I ended up developing, but a space where people would be going on these journeys, particularly in her business and weight loss, coming out on the other side with thyroid dysfunction, hormone dysfunction, you know, really without a system that could understand what their journey was and how to help support them. So I started kind of exploring that space and feeling more comfortable talking in that space. I was sitting in an advisory position in my wife's business and giving talks on topics that I was completely untrained in and uncomfortable in. So I started doing a lot of research and just kept finding these big areas where there was a lot of work to be done and a lot of help to be done. And so once I decided to leave the private group in Asheville, it really opened up the door for me. So I kind of had to make a leap because I didn't really have a place to practice initially, although I did find a place where I was driving an hour and a half away and continuing to practice, but I was able to do that part-time and manipulate that schedule so that I could then go through the two fellowships that I went through and eventually open the practice. So it was just kind of a whirlwind of just difficult situations where it just ground me down until I had to make a switch.
You had a dual going for a while. So you were part-time surgeon with the intent of phasing that out while you trained up to move into the new world.
All right. And I was very fortunate, and I think this is probably very uncommon from a surgeon's perspective, but to find a part-time situation that gave me the freedom to explore those things and do that additional training. I mean, I was very fortunate to find that.
Right. I'm curious, would you have made the leap if you didn't have that bridge?
It would have been a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I couldn't have done the training if I were in full-time practice. And to take that leap would have taken a substantial amount of financial reserve, which I didn't have.
There you go. Okay. And then, so you gave us sort of the intro on, you know, why ultimately optimal human health and what you do today. You know, what kind of market opportunity did you see? Like, why, you know, you still could have gone in other directions, or you could have bolted on different things. You could have crafted your practice differently than you have.
Right.
What ultimately had you land on where you land, as opposed to all the other choices you could have made?
It really came down to how I felt I needed to live my life. So one of the things that really challenged me in orthopedics was that I typically didn't get to choose, you know, who I was treating. And this is obviously very common as a physician, especially as a surgeon. People are referred to you, or they come in from the ER, you know.
Right.
And in that scenario, the things that I was very interested in, which is starting with health and wellness and lifestyle, that's not really why they were in my practice. You know, and so somebody comes in, they have, you know, that foot pain or knee pain or arthritis, you know, that's why they're there. And for me to express the things that I was truly passionate about, which would be changing your health through nutrition or supplementation or, you know, different types of exercise, a lot of times that fell on deaf ears because they just wanted, you know, the shot or the pill. And so I realized that
the same bad behaviors that led them to your office in the first place, right?
Right. Well, and they typically don't connect the two. You know, if I told somebody that if they just slept better, then this would happen. And they look at me like, well, that can't be that simple. But a lot of times it is that simple. Right. And so that was part of it. I realized that, you know, the things that I really enjoy talking about, the things that I enjoy educating my patients on, I really couldn't do in that practice. And so that's where I decided, okay, well, if I'm going to lead from my heart and present things that I truly think can make a difference in patients' lives, I need to present essentially a practice that's going to attract the right people. You can never really choose who you're going to treat, but you can choose who's attracted to you.
Correct. And boy, it's such a great point. It's like one of the core marketing concepts that's out there, which is you have a business or a practice, and it's best designed to serve a population that looks like this. We call that your ideal patient, call it whatever you want, your avatar. Nevertheless, right, when you're, I hadn't thought about this until you said it, when you're a more traditional model, you take who comes. And even if you practice a specialty and yet all sorts of people showed up every day who didn't fit what you were really looking for, now they are. So tell us a bit about the types of patients that you're looking for that you're crafting optimal human health to get to today.
Yeah. So
who makes a good client, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't go into it initially with a really well-defined avatar. And that was
a failure
on my part. And we can,
no,
we can
give yourself a break. No, you could set it out on day one. And I promise you in 2 years, you're going to change it.
Yeah.
Especially in your world where there's so more freedom to operate. I'll put it that way. It's give yourself a break. It's no matter what you pick, it's going to change. But go ahead.
Yeah. Sure. Here. So my initial avatar was really people coming out of my wife's business. You know, I saw this need state for folks that had been on a weight loss journey and they were coming out and they didn't have the support they needed. And those are the folks that really struggled with maintaining their weight. And that's one of the things that she does really well is to help people to keep their weight off, you know, in a maintenance fashion. But people that struggle with thyroid, struggle with hormones, you know, particularly men and testosterone and all that stuff, they just didn't have the resources they need. So that was my avatar, right? That person coming out, the support that they need. But as I started to get the training I needed to support them, I really found a passion for the people that are actually just truly just trying to optimize, which is a difficult word and a kind of a broad group, but really people that are just trying to elevate their health. So that sort of became, you know, this is a second group of people that I'd like to help, although remarkably difficult to market to, unless you have some ideas for me. And then the third group that really then spun out of that was a group that have osteoporosis. So patients that I saw in the orthopedic realm that really benefit from this approach are those that have osteoporosis and bad bone health. Because the traditional approach to bone health is miserable and essentially just pharmaceutically driven. And the pharmaceuticals aren't that great, but the lifestyle things that can go along with it are probably more powerful. And certainly doing them together is way more powerful. So that's really the group where I've actually created even a, you know, a separate webpage funnel and I'm going to try marketing towards, because I think getting that group in and putting them through these programs could be really, really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would strike me that the osteoporosis group would be easier to find because it's so specific and it's nice. Yeah. And it's a very commonly known term and people understand it and they know if there's like an age trigger, not a specific trigger, but you're sort of in the window, you're not. So it makes a lot of sense.
Right. And, yeah. And let me just back up, Carl. I kind of glossed over this. In that middle group, that optimization group, one of the groups I think that could benefit from my experience the most would be people that are in a similar position. So the people probably that are listening to this podcast, the professionals that are getting burned out, that aren't taking time for themselves, that don't have a good care plan for themselves. I think that this approach is a great way to just sort of recenter yourself, rebalance your approach. Because we as physicians, we know a lot of information. And I feel like we very rarely impart it in our own lives. So sometimes it takes that external force to say, look, like you were taught this. We just need to go back and see like what works for you. And let's get this dialed in and let's create these behaviors for you. And so that's in that middle group for me. And I really enjoy working with physicians.
Yeah. The doctor who smokes, right? Patients ever. Yeah. So how long now has Optimal Human Health been open?
So we opened last summer. So we're not quite a year yet.
Wow. Okay.
And, yeah. And we started, you know, I was seeing patients before that through the fellowships that I was doing. And I've been in this space for, gosh, I guess 4 years now, working with some of my wife's clients in ways that I could. But the official Optimal Human Health, OHH doors, quote unquote, opened last summer. Yeah.
Right. And one of the benefits of having you here is you've lived through some challenges of opening, of being a private practice owner. So when you were opening, 100 challenges, right? But if there was one that kind of jumps out at you that you think, boy, I bet you other people are facing this and how you faced it and how you stared it down, I think our listeners would really benefit from it.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me was just the fear of how do I create something that is going to meet all the criteria of being an official private practice. You know, what are the legal challenges, the ramifications, so many questions around the telehealth model. You know, can I see patients? What are the rules right now? Unfortunately, you know, this was during the throes of COVID.
Right.
So yeah, there were no telehealth rules almost. It was just kind of like the wild, wild west. But that's changing very quickly. And then how do you stay updated with that? You know, like it's a challenge. So my answer to that was ask for help. Because there's no way to do that yourself. So I asked the people that I knew that had done something similar, who were the right attorneys to talk to, who were the right coaches to talk to. And so from a previous connection, ended up working with a coach and entrepreneur who has started telehealth practices in the past. And he spun me a heck of a deal, and for not a lot of money, helped me to create the corporate model that requires both a PLLC and an LLC. Right. And then got me in touch with the right attorneys to say, look, you know, just to, and it didn't actually cost me any money. You know, it was just a conversation to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing. What do I need to do? And they said, you've already done it. You know, and so, yeah, so just once I had that in place, then it became about the things that I'm good at, which is, okay, what tests do I need to order? How do I deliver this content? Right? How am I going to actually see a patient? Like, those things are fun things to figure out. You know, what EMR to use? Like, those things physicians can just roll with. But the legal stuff is really scary, because the last thing you want to do is put yourself in a situation where you're going to put your family at risk and your finances at risk.
Yes. And then the insurance with it, and it's all foreign language. And I remember, my own like terms and conditions and things, and just, I don't know, is it good? I trust the attorney who's writing it up, and hopefully it is, you know?
Right.
So a year and a half in, what's the big thing you're facing now?
The biggest challenge right now is client acquisition.
Okay.
Right. And so we have enough data to know, you know, how much, what's our profit margin on a patient. And we started out charging way too little.
We all do.
Yeah. And I honestly, I believe I still am. I think we're underpriced for the market, but at the same time, you know, we're still learning, we're still growing. So I feel that's appropriate for where we are. But as a result of that, you know, we need a lot more volume than I would have ever anticipated. My projections and my pro forma are, let's just say, they weren't accurate. And that's okay. But now the question is, you know, how can we get enough people in the door? And then how do we manage that volume when we do?
What's the mix of like in-person patients versus virtual tele?
I am 100% telehealth at this point.
Okay.
And I think that'll change. We now have, we're switching to a new space where I'll be able to physically see people. But my market spread is across the country. I'm licensed in 13 states. And my local Asheville market, I think I have 2 or 3 patients. Because we don't market locally.
It's all nationwide.
Yeah.
Or in those 13 states.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Wow. Thank you for this tour. It's such a great story. I love these stories where somebody struck it out on their own and they're making a real success of it. And obviously time will tell, but the things that are stepping, you'll figure out these. I'm sure you will. Just a couple of questions before we wrap up. Is there anything you think in the context of what we talked about that I should have asked you that would benefit people listening, but just didn't think to ask?
No, I think we covered the big point, which is, you know, how do you make that leap from being burned out and frustrated to actually pursuing something that you're passionate about? I think that's the big picture.
Yeah. And was it just, you know, something's got to give? Or because again, a lot of people just, even those that notice it, it's still, I mean, a career change, like what you threw everything out, started fresh.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, in
some
ways,
motivation to say I can't do, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I actually look at it as just taking the next step. So, you know, like you said at the beginning, jumping from one mountain to another, I kind of find it as I climbed this mountain, did this amazing thing that we all have done, people in my position. And then I got to a plateau and I thought, okay, well, I'm not comfortable with this plateau. This isn't really where I'm best suited to serve. So I found another mountain, you know,
right.
And it has a lot of different things that I'm not well trained to do from a business perspective, but I know a lot of people. I live with an entrepreneur, you know, and she doesn't want to be my business partner. And we are still married because we have that division. But at the same time, she has a lot of acquaintances and friends and people that she could point me towards in those resources. So I looked at that next mountain as, you know, this is something I have to do.
You didn't say it this way, and I didn't think about it until just now, but it sounds like one piece of advice is, whoever's listening, find your inner North Star.
Yeah.
Like that place you must go to. And because now you've got something to compare your real life to. And it sounds like for you, they were just too far apart. And maybe that's the, if you're close or you're not sure, you kind of ride it out. But if you're far enough apart, everybody's got a breaking point. But if you don't know what you're comparing your real today to your desired state, your North Star, then you're never going to find it.
Yeah. Absolutely true. And I look at my colleagues and my peers that I trained with, and I look at the guys that when they went into residency, I mean, and I was too to some extent, just so excited about being able to learn this trade. And I was too. But I think that why I was doing it was different than the guys that are still doing it and are loving it. You know, the guys that get up in the morning, they're like, I get to go do 8 total joints today. Like, that's great. I'm so happy that they're happy. But I wouldn't be happy, you know? And so, you know, I was more interested in the goal and in the achievement of what I was doing, with the knowing that I was going to be able to create a reasonable income for my family and the stability, right. Like all of that was my motivation. It wasn't the actual trade. And it wasn't really, I didn't go into it because my heart said, I love to do this for people. What I realized is that when I got there, yes, it's a tool that I had, but what I really love to do is something else. And so that's an incredible thing to learn about yourself. And I hope that everybody can figure that out once they get to a point where they're, you know, they can take a breath after training, stick their head up out of the water while they're in practice and take a look around and say, you know, is this really what I love to do? Because I was getting in that classic burnout mode, you know, just frustrated in practice, taking my frustrations home with me at the end of the day, just angry because I wasn't able to do the things that I felt like I should do. And it really had nothing to do with the patients that I was seeing. It had nothing to do with even the administration that I was frustrated at and fighting with. It was because I was in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah. When you take a step back and come up for air and stare at, is this for me or not? Being ready to face the honest answer, because for you is, holy crap, I'm in the wrong place. And where I think I may need to be is so different. It's not like I can brush up my resume and go work for a different place. It's something completely different. So that can be frightening, and you got to have the courage to stand up to it. It doesn't have to happen all at once, but that's definitely the trigger. I can totally relate.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be this massive, you know, shift like I made. And I've even looked at ways, you know, is there a way that I can combine potentially the two? Because there are things that I miss about being in orthopedics, and there's value in some ways of having a foot in the door of a traditional healthcare system, you know, and is there a way that the two could potentially run parallel? So I'm totally open to, you know, looking at things from a different lens. Mm-hmm. And I could see a path where if I'm actually have a role in a traditional healthcare model and then have a practice outside of it, that's going to help to provide services for patients that come to the traditional model because they don't know where else to go. They're not looking at the avenues that have those of us that are in this optimization space, because I've also found that there's a lot of us. And I didn't know anybody like this, you know, before I went in. And now I see that there are a lot of us, but we're mostly saturated and we're just not well known. And we're not marketing to people that aren't looking in the same places where we operate. So I think that you could be creative in what you have and be creative in the fields that you're in. And if you're really stuck and frustrated, it doesn't mean that you have to like quit and like become an artist or quit, you know, and like become a lawyer if you're a doctor, you know, like, you don't have to throw it all away, but how can you take that, you know, the mountaintop that you've climbed and then just continue to elevate from there?
Right. Right. Love it. And then the other question I have is, so folks who are listening, they're staring at a situation similar, either they're stuck or they're just starting something new. Any practical advice you can think of that they could, as soon as they're done listening, they could say, you know, I'm going to start working on that. Dr. Doug had a really good point there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I totally fell victim to this as well, is when we are in a position where we're jumping to something new or we're digging in to try to make some amazing changes that are, you know, atypical, the first thing we're going to do is just add more pressure onto us. And we as physicians, we are broad-shouldered people that will take things on, and despite our own health, our own wellness. So I would strongly encourage anybody that's doing this, really anybody, just to remember that you have to take time for yourself. You have to schedule time for yourself. I strongly encourage people to have a great morning routine that includes something for themselves, whether it be, you know, meditation or a walk with the dogs or, you know, reading something that is not literature in your field of medicine. You know, just something that's going to help you to get ready for your day. Same thing at night, making sure you have time for sleep. Like all these like stupid, simple lifestyle things that we are terrible at. Once you make those little tweaks, a lot of other stuff falls into place. So just remember to take time for yourself.
Yeah, I remember when I was starting out, I forget where I read it, but it was, you know what? Make the bed, because at least you got something done today. And you just When you're running the whole shop yourself, who knows? But you can look at that. Well, somebody made the bed. Something got done today.
That's right. Yeah. You start with a win. And that includes like not, you know.
It sounds so dumb, but I got to tell you, there were days like, well, at least I got the bed done.
No, it's totally true. And that's one of the things I impart to my kids too. Like they have two things to do in the morning. One is brush your teeth. The other is make your bed. Because if you can't do the little things, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I love the fact too, like getting up without hitting the snooze button, I think is another the big mistake people will make is, you know, they're overtired. They don't have good sleep hygiene. They start their day by hitting the snooze button over and over again. If you're doing that, you're starting your day with fail, 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 fail. Like you're failing to achieve your goals. You're failing to be disciplined right out of the gate. And that's a crappy way to start the day. So making sure that, you know, that you have the right sleep hygiene so that when your alarm goes off, you're up. Right? You're up and ready to go and you feel good. And if that's not the case, then you need to change your sleep hygiene. And even better, actually, as a real goal is to wake up on time without an alarm clock. I'm not there yet, but I hear that's amazing.
I've heard that. It was a long time ago that I heard it, but yes, it sounds great. Well, thank you again for taking some time and coming on Practice Care. So beneficial. Great story. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl. It's been fun.
Yeah. So we're going to put your contact and all your information in the show notes. So anybody who wants to connect with Dr. Doug, you can go there. All of his social media profiles, website, email, it'll all be there. And just a couple of other points before we wrap up. If you've had an experience with the challenges of owning a private practice, or you're somebody like me who serves private practices and you've got some experience to impart, we want you to come on Practice Care and share it with the world. Go to the website. It'll be in the show notes. There's just a quick form to fill out so we can get you scheduled right away. And then lastly, please make sure to subscribe on Practice Care on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks very much. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to Practice Care with Carl White. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss another episode. You can find our guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.